In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. This verse of Scripture comes from chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew. And no one in church today gets extra credit for telling me who it is that Matthew is describing, John the Baptist. A man who was in his day so famous for what he did on the banks of the River Jordan that for time and eternity the word Baptist or baptizer was affixed to the end of his given name. The gospel says that Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And even in those days, that was a lot of people. To use a modern term for an ancient figure, John the Baptist was a celebrity. And today, for the second week in a row, our reading from the Gospel of John, no relation to John the Baptist, by the way, features that very celebrity. But he does something that famous people don't typically do. He voluntarily, deliberately gives up his celebrity. And it's in this action that we see both John's true mission and his true self. In this morning's gospel passage, John the Baptist is standing around with two of his disciples when Jesus walks by. And John points to him and says to these two disciples, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And the gospel then says, the two disciples heard him say this, and they follow Jesus. Can you imagine being, say, back in college and standing on campus with your girlfriend when you see a friend of yours cross the college green and you say, "Look, that's Steve. What a fantastic guy he is." And your girlfriend shrugs and walks off in Steve's direction. If any of us had been John the Baptist on that day on the banks of the River Jordan, we might have said to our two disciples as they walked toward Jesus, "Wait a minute. I didn't mean you should start following him now." But of course, John doesn't do that because John knows his mission and his self. And knowing his mission and his self begins with his doing something patently strange. And I'm not talking about his wearing camel hair and eating locusts, which was also strange and also deliberate. John, who sees and acknowledges the Son of God himself in the person of Jesus, does not stop everything to follow him. John the Baptist does not himself become a disciple of Jesus the way his follower, the future apostle Andrew, does, even though John knows perfectly well who Jesus is. John's mission was to be, as it says in the book of the prophet Isaiah, one crying out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." That was John's God-given mission in this life, and he was good at it, and it made him famous. But he didn't do that, and he didn't do the camel hair and locusts thing simply because he loved the attention. He did it to bring people to God through repentance and forgiveness of sins and by pointing people to Jesus. Toward the end of the Revolutionary War, after the American victory at Yorktown, a version of the old game of chicken took place in New York as both sides in that war waited for word of a peace treaty to come to them from across the Atlantic. The British were still occupying New York City, and Washington and his troops waited in the town of Newburgh, north of the city, through the cold winter, waiting not just for word of peace, but for salary payments that Congress kept not sending the army. Things got so bad that at one point, Washington's officers started discussing a military coup against Congress. Washington famously addressed them while putting on his reading glasses in front of them for the first time. He told them, "Gentlemen, you must pardon me. I have grown gray in your service and now find myself growing blind." a general who was by then so powerful and revered that he could have claimed for himself permanent power, instead used his authority to discourage a military coup and promote peace. A few months later, when British troops finally evacuated New York City following the Treaty of Paris ending the war, Washington bid farewell to his officers, resigned his position, and returned to life as a private citizen. The following decade, he would once again voluntarily give up the power of the presidency after two terms, a position he likely could have held for life. Such was the universal esteem his country had for him. Washington was successful beyond his imagining and famous the world over, but that's not why he did what he did. Joy came to him not through his own success, but that of the cause he served. And in due time, he walked away gracefully twice. John the Baptist knew as well what his mission was, and it was not to achieve success or fame as a prophet. It was to point people to Jesus, the Son of God. Two chapters after what we hear today, John speaks of Jesus as the groom at a wedding, saying, "It is the groom who has the bride, but the groom's friend, who stands by and listens to him, is filled with joy when he hears the groom's voice. This joy I have felt in full. He must become greater, and I less." John not only saw disciples leave him to follow Jesus, he encouraged it. If he were here today, he'd still be pointing people to Jesus. Our own missions in this life are hopefully at their core about following Jesus and his gospel. But that manifests itself in various ways for all of us. We may not have as focused a mission as John the Baptist did, or as Washington did, or for that matter, as Martin Luther King Jr. did, who said in his final address about the promised land of equality and justice, "I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." Dr. King, too, was successful and famous and was a voice crying out, not for his own glory, but for the cause of justice. These leaders knew their mission and they knew their selves. And those selves were connected at their very roots to the just causes they served. And this week, when we as a nation celebrate the life and mission of Dr. King, in this week when we bid farewell and Godspeed to our first African-American president, let us pray that we too, in our own small way, may live our missions so that our own selves may be rooted in the gospel, that through our words and actions, we too may point to Jesus. Amen.